There's also groups of cows, and each group has a particular name. I can't remember them all like that, but one of them I'll never forget is called Madanga Muki, which basically means Madanga face. You know? That one I can't remember. So there are cows with heads like Madangas, then there are red ones, white ones, different cows like this. And so Krishna is calling them. It is in fact said that at Ter Kadamba, which is a nice place there, Krishna is seated in a tree, and he is in a kadamba tree, and he is on the lookout for his cows, and then he is counting his cows and so on. So in this way Krishna is chanting, but he chants the names of his cows. So Lalita is, as I said, hot-tempered by nature. Her complexion is like the yellow pigment Gorochana. I don't know what that is, but yellowish, but beautiful. In the spiritual world, there are so many colors, not just black, white, and brown, but in the spiritual world, all kinds of varieties, green bodies, bluish bodies, blackish bodies, yellow bodies, many different varieties, but all very beautiful. In Africa, Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is also black, but not like you. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. Spiritual bodies are of a different nature. Lalita is, although she is a senior, and although she is, as I explained, acting out Guru Tattva, still we see here she is a servant. Lalita comes to Radhika's glistening, soft, curly locks that were first dried off with fragrant smoke. See? So that's the natural way of drying hair. No things, but, you know, using scented smoke. That's very nice. With an ivory comb, no plastic, inset with many gems, named Swastida. Then she hung a jeweled string with the spotless crest jewel of Sankachuda that was taken from him by Krishna and given to her at the tip of her braid, which was filled with bakula flowers and strings of pearls. She bound this end with a rope with golden ornaments inset with Antabhaga gems, whatever they are, and bound her front hair up in a knot with silken ribbons. So in this way, Lalita is always serving Srimati Radharani, sometimes by managing her pastimes, sometimes by doing some personal service, but that's her only interest, to serve Srimati Radharani. As all the other gopis had their kunja at Radha Kunj, we will also read about Lalita's kunj. This is okay. I thank you very much. It was somebody's plan. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's appreciated, but I don't need it. So Lalita also has a kunja at, and the joy of all the seasons can be experienced in this place, which is always carefully maintained by Lalita's disciple, I told you she was a guru, Kalavali, and which is the very form of playful pleasure. The goddess of beauty, Indira, is manifest in this royal temple of Radha and Krishna and their friends, named Lalita Nanda Da Kunja. This Da means it's giving. Lalita Nanda means pleasure of Lalita, and Da means giving. So giving pleasure This kunja looks like a lotus flower with jeweled filaments and golden whorls divided in many equal jeweled leaves, each in their own color. Outside of these whorls are the filaments. And outside of that, at the tips of the petals, the weight and number gradually increase. Outside of this area that gives joy to all the five senses through it, though it attributes like coolness, our platform, variably made of gold, lapis lazuli, sapphire, crystals, rubies, etc., that completes its beauty. In the middle of this platform are wonderful Jewish images depicting deer and birds, demigods, humans, five colors of leaves, flowers, trees, and canopies beautify the center of this thousand-petaled lotus, and the jeweled platform that reach up to the knees are in the center. Then there are eight sub-kunjas also that look like lotus petals and are beautified by ashok vines that are covered from top to foot by white, red, green, yellow, and blue flowers. There's another kunja shaped like an eight-petaled lotus flower, full of humming bees and singing cuckoos in the northeast of Lalita's Kunj, in a place called Vasanta Sukada, giver of joy to the spring. In the southwestern corner of Lalita's Kunja is it's a lotus temple that is beautified by gates and windows on all four sides. On the four walls of this temple, Lalita keeps many wonderful jewel-studded pictures of Krishna's pastimes, like the Purva Rag, falling in love, the Rasa dance, Kunja pastimes, killings of Putana and Aristasura. The world of this lotus temple is made of shining jewels, and the interior is its world. On the outside, it is surrounded by 16 inner quarters, shaped like the petal of this lotus. Within these 16 quarters, there are 16 sub-quarters, above which are nice balconies. One after another, there are coral panel balconies on top of crystal pillars with no walls in between. On top of that, there are jeweled spires with canopies on their peaks that provide shelter from the rain. From this very high point, Radha and Krishna happily behold the beauty of the forest. The side of this open balcony on the third floor are decorated with pearls. Below that are many sub-platforms shining with so many jewel-studded pictures. In between those platforms are staircases leading to higher platforms that reach up to the neck if one stands on the platform below. On the four sides of these staircases are again other platforms that reach up to the neck from there. Around these platforms are rows of trees with fruits and flowers. This place is an ocean of playful sports for Radha and Krishna and their friends. In the southeastern corner of Lalita's Kunj is a jeweled lotus-shaped swing platform. The branches of two prominent bakula trees, one on the west and one on the east, meet there, bending over upwards, covering these swings like a canopy. And at the foot of this tree hangs a swing from its branches, bound in four corners, with silken strings hanging at navel's length. There are 80 ruby seats on this swing, with eight lotuses made of coral, each the size of only a hand, surrounding the whirl-like seat of the swing. The center of this lotus suite is a 16-petals lotus, beautified with jewels, and there are two supports on each of the eight sides of the seat for keeping the feet, shaped like a lotus petal. There are eight gates on each side on the swing. There are small rungs on the seat to support Radha and Krishna's backs, and silken pillows behind them on their sides. A nice canopy covered with clusters of leaves, and strings of pearls like rows of moons, as well as various wonderful clothes sewn with golden threads, hang over their head. So, you might be thinking that I was describing Dwarka, isn't it? Huh? When you hear such opulence, you say, but I thought Vrindavan was all about parrots and about forest flowers and these kind of things, right? And that was the natural beauty of Vrindavan, and that the opulence with jewels, lapis lazuli columns, or was it crystal columns with coral balconies on it and stuff like that, you think that's the work? How does this fit in Vrindavan? No, there is great opulence in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But they are not bewildered by that opulence. That opulence is not at all attracting anyone. That opulence is not seen as of importance to the devotees. It is just offered to Krishna. Right? It is of importance to be offered to Krishna. But no one cares about the opulences of Krishna. No one cares that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, everyone wants to offer the best for Krishna. And everything is befitting for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although nobody knows he is the Supreme Lord. But they offer him the best. So, amazing, amazing places in the forest. It is a forest. It's not like Dwarka, a place of 16,108 palaces. It is a place of many forests and lakes and so on. But then in that place, amazing arrangements are made. The kunjas have marble floors, or even more fancy than that, whatever may be. But Aishwarya means accepting the awe, accepting the Lord in awe and reverence, remembering his unlimited opulences. And Vrindavan means forgetting that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I like that pastime where Krishna, where Nanda Maharaj was taking bath on the Dwadasi to break his Ekadasi, and he's taking a bath. But what happened was he took bath too early and he got captured by the servants of Varuna. And he was brought before Varuna. And Nanda Maharaj was amazed because Varuna has so much opulence, so many jewels, the ocean's filled with jewels. So Varuna is especially very, very opulent. So he'd never seen such opulence. He was just amazed. And he was amazed to see Varuna. The next moment, in Vrindavan, everyone was making alarm. Nanda Maharaj went down into the river. So Krishna jumped into the river to save him. And next moment appeared before Varuna. And then Varuna, he came off his throne and started to recite prayers and said, finally, this life, after many, many lives, this life is successful because in this life I'm seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Nanda Maharaj was amazed. You know, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, authority. Varuna, not just anybody, but authority is saying so, then it must be true. And then, anyway, Krishna grabbed Nanda Maharaj and said, okay, let's go. And they came out of the water and everyone was elated. But Nanda Maharaj told everyone what he had seen. And that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it was a big discussion in Vrindavan. A big thing. Wow, look at that. All this time you're living with us and you never told us. Anyway, Well, Krishna, now that you are the Supreme Lord, now you have to show us something. Okay, Krishna said, what would you want? Then someone said, why didn't you show us the Brahma Jyoti? Oh, Krishna goes, oh, the Brahma Jyoti. That's very boring, not very exciting. You know what? I'll show you Golok. And then Krishna showed them Golok. And Golok was exactly the same as Vrindavan. There was only one difference. There were these effulgent personalities. And they said, who are these personalities? I said, oh, those are the Vedas personified. They were the recite. So that they could see that it was different, that they were really seeing something else. But they saw it was the same as their own village. So they were very happy with that. And then, at one point, someone said, have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Said, yeah, of course, you know, everybody knows Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So everyone stopped talking about it because everyone had heard it. It wasn't news anymore. Old hat, you know. Have you got anything else to say? And therefore, after a while, they just forgot. They just forgot, you know. The other things were going on. They just forgot all about it. And everyone forgot again that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even the one time that the Vrijbasis knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they did not in any way become impressed by that. They never thought much of it, right? They never thought that that in itself was an amazing thing. They just thought, okay, you know, interesting. Show us something, but, you know, they were still treating him like someone from their village, right? They weren't like Arjuna who, like, said, oh, forgive me, I've treated you like a friend, you know, like after he saw the universal form. All this time I treated you like my equal, and now I realize who you really are. Oh, forgive my sins. Not like Vasudeva and Devaki, who after they were released from the jail, remembered that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, and they didn't embrace him. Because, oh, he's the Supreme Lord, out of awe and reverence. There was not a trace of awe and reverence in the Vrijabasis. Even when they knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, they still treated him just like any other person. No problem. So, like this. That is Vrindavan. So, when it says no Aishwarya in Vrindavan, that is what it means. But at the same time, there is great opulence. Great opulence. And that we should understand. There are beautiful palaces, beautiful pastime places, and somehow or other, everything is arranged. On the first day, we were discussing how at one point, Nanda Maharaj decided to leave Gokul and to move to Vrindavan because these demons were coming there. Putana had come, Sakatasura had come, the card demon had come. So at that point, they felt it's too much here. You know, there's something wrong with this place. So they went to Vrindavan, and they went in these beautiful, beautiful carts, and they crossed the Yamuna. All the cows are swimming across. And remember, the bulls made big waves, and with their head would just smash those waves. And the calves were sort of like playful in the water. And it was a huge pastime in the Yamuna. And then Nanda Maharaj settled in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj had beautiful, opulent stables from where streams would come out. It is said in the morning, one stream would come out, which was like the Akash Ganga. It was like the white Ganga from the sky, which we know as the Milky Way. That is the Akash Ganga. That's not the Milky Way. That is the Ganga in the sky. Right? Just that you know. You know. Not just ordinary Milky Way. No, Ganga is there. Yes. So it said just like the Akash Ganga, all the cows would come out of the various goshalas, and then there were the buffaloes also, and they were dark like the Yamuna, right? And they were like, yes, Krishna was at herds of buffaloes, and so even now. In this little village, we see cows and buffaloes. Somehow or other, they can make yogurt. So they say locally that yogurt from buffaloes is good, but milk gives you buffalo brain, which is not recommended. Buffaloes are nice, but not famous for brain. Somehow or other, didn't get so much of that. But Vrindavan is still so natural. Sometimes we see how some boys with cows and buffaloes are crossing the Yamuna. I have seen many times, and it's not difficult to see how Krishna was performing pastime here with his cowherd voice. So in this very place, Krishna also performed pastime with his cowherd boys. Just next to here, as we came in to the right, there is a well, and that is Venukoop. Right? We are afraid to drink such water because, you know, we have foreign stomachs and so on. So, but drops on the head is always nice. Although it is transcendental, the germs in that transcendental water may not be transcendental. Anyway, so we're appreciating that some or other Krishna and Balaram were also performing pastimes here. And that is how Vrindavan is, that the different pastimes are interchanging, sometimes Madhurya Ras pastimes, sometimes Sakya Ras pastimes, sometimes Vatsalya Ras pastimes. Mother Yasoda sends out prasadam to the forest sometimes. Sometimes she cooks at home and she sends out full meals into the forest. Other times, everyone just has to do it with what they bring, right? And then people start to steal each other's lunch packages. And then, of course, we start to distribute these lunch packages. What to do? But I'm sure. I have to open. There's more lunch packages. Okay. I better give him a couple. There's lots of it.
Thank you.
It comes from everywhere. These come from Dubai. Oh yeah. I saw that, man. Yeah. Finished.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. It's mothers, eh?
There's some more here.
There's more here, eh? Gosh, there's no end to it.
Should also be dance.
They'll get automatically. There's too many cookies here.
This case can't. Arrivo.
Babuji,
you were so fast. I was sharing.
Thank you. Hey. He's stealing.
That's the pasta. Perfectly
bona fide. Okay. There's the last sweet bowl. No, that's the box. Okay. Yeah, so there are many pastimes of stealing, sharing, prasadam. And, of course, the mothers who make these packages, they know very well that the coward boys are stealing each other's packages and tasting each other's preps, right? So every mother is actually hoping that Krishna will one day steal the packet of her son. And therefore, just in case that might happen, every day she packs it up with really special preps, yeah? So that when Krishna actually steals, then the offering is the best. Like this, they're not just thinking of their own children, they're thinking of Krishna first. So, nice, the villages in Vrindavan are still very much like it was when Krishna was here. Although, at the time of Krishna, it was always spring.
and there were many waterfalls in the forests, and the trees were very opulent. It was green, and because of the waterfalls, it created like a mist of water, which created nice cool air, natural air cooling, right? So not so hot, so pleasant like that. So in this way, we are appreciating Vrindavan. And but even here, in this Bome of Vrindavan, Vrindavan of Earth, on Earth, which is covered by yoga maya, one can enter. One can enter by blessings. Just as some of you are coming now, have joined us a little later, that's why I'm remembering a few things. On the first day, the first place we stopped was at Brahmandagat. Because at Brahmandagat, Krishna ate clay, of course. Krishna ate clay and Mother Yasoda looked in his mouth and saw the universe. But we particularly went there to remember Srila Prabhupada, who went to Brahmandagat. And all the devotees went into the Yamuna to chant their Gayatri. And then at one point, Srila Prabhupada was watching. At one point, suddenly he also started to take off his clothes and put the gamsha and get ready to take bath. Well, then whoever was not yet in the water, anybody at that stage went into the water. So all the devotees, not one devotee left on the shore, all the devotees were in the water, together with Prabhupada, chanting Gayatri, because it was that time. Now it's also almost Gayatri time. And then, so we were remembering how Prabhupada was taking the devotees to Vrindavan. And when Prabhupada was speaking about how Mother Yasoda looked in the mouth of Krishna, and when Mother Yasoda saw the entire universe, her eyes were getting Prabhupada's eyes were getting big and round. Prabhupada was seeing the universe in Krishna's mouth. So in this way, we're coming to Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. I also explained on that first day that the Chatikara road was later renamed to Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark, and that is now the road that goes to the highway. And I explained that the devotees made a gate over that road, a gate to honor Srila Prabhupada. And we come in, when we come into Vrindavan, we come through that Prabhupada gate. And that is more than symbolic, right? Because it is Prabhupada who gives us entrance into Vrindavan. And in this way, we are able to understand. And Prabhupada kidnapped Surabhi Swami, who was at the time Hans Kalman, and he was somehow or other an architect. And at the time, the Juhu project, there was a temporary temple on the land. And somehow or other, this Western person came. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was a good preacher. Tamal Krishna Maharaj on Radha Damodar, when they used to go out with the buses, he used to always, while Vishnu Jan was doing the ecstatic kirtan, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was on the outside looking at the boys who were looking at the kirtan, and then he would go like, nice, huh? Hey, wouldn't it be fun if you could just travel, you know, with this party everywhere and just be part of the whole thing? And before you knew it, they were on the bus. So, in this way, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always expert in looking who could join Prabhupada's pastimes, who we could bring to Prabhupada. So, um, When Prabhupada was in, I forgot why I started with Tamal Krishna. Huh?
Surabhi.
Surabhi, thank you. And Surabhi, right? Surabhi, he was, Tamal Krishna Maharaj saw this person and immediately started preaching to him and brought him to Prabhupada. And he had already been speaking with him and told Prabhupada the news and said, "Oh, I just met this person here and he's an architect." And Prabhupada's eyes became big and round, just like he saw, like at the time when he told the story. And his eyes became big and round. And he said, "Oh, an architect." He said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, "Bring pen and paper." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought. And then he said, "We need a temple. We need a temple for our Vrindavan project. Would you mind making a sketch?" Now, Surabhi, right? I worked very closely with him because, I got involved in the Mayapur Samadhi, and he was the architect, and I worked very closely with him. And Surabhi, he would take a pen, put it on the paper, and he would not lift it. He would not lift it once. He would just draw the whole design in one line. Huh? That's how he worked. Now, if he made a design, it wasn't just that he was like, making a design. It was like something came over him, Some sort of inspiration came over him, and he would just go like really fast. And with this whole one line, there was a temple. And Prabhupada liked it. And Prabhupada wanted it. And Prabhupada, then later, after that, Prabhupada told Surabhi, or he told Hans Kalman, he said, tomorrow, I'd like to invite you, I'd like to invite you, there will be initiations. And Hans said, "Oh, that will be very nice. Yes, I will come. Who will get initiated?" And Prabhupada said, "You." And that was it, That was it. He wanted him, right? So in this way, we have this amazing Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Surabhi, he has, not long ago, he has left this world. And he had cancer, whatever it was. But he came to Vrindavan. He came to Vrindavan just 2 days. 2 days before he left. And when he was there, then he was in the room and he was obviously not well. He was resting and lying on the bed. He asked one question. And he said, "Is the temple still standing? Is it okay? Is it in a good condition? Is the temple being maintained well?" And then the devotee said, yes, it's very well. Then Surabhi said, oh, then it's okay. Because Prabhupada told me, he said, "As long as this temple is standing, you will go back to Godhead." So, such beautiful temples are there in Vrindavan. Such amazing transcendental places are there. Such as described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. The various temples that are maintained by the Astasakis. And the temple that Srila Prabhupada had constructed and made by Surabhi Maharaj. That temple still stands today. And in that temple, the bell is still ringing because Prabhupada wanted that. It had to ring. He said, "I'll judge the management of this temple by the ringing of the bell." And I know about that it's not easy. I was in charge of that for many years, of the ringing of the bell. And I tell you, it was hard because the bell is being rung by security guards. Now, security guards, chokidars, they are not like the brightest people, you know what I mean? It's a low-paid job, you know. It's sort of like, if you can't get any other job, then you can always become a chowkidar, you know, in India. That's sort of how it is. And they have to ring the bell on time. It's impossible. Impossible. We had like a satellite-controlled clock fixed in a block of cement so that no one could steal it, right? So that we could exactly see what the right time was. And still they couldn't ring the bell at the right time. Still. It got better when I threatened them to cut their money, and when I actually did it, okay, then the bell was ringing in time for a moment. But it wasn't easy. Sometimes the rope broke, and the bell had to ring. Every half hour the bell has to ring all the numbers of the hours, as you can hear, and then on the half hour. And sometimes the whole rope would come down. Sometimes even the bell came down. We've even been ringing the bell with a hammer, you know, somehow or other, to keep the ringing going. The bell cannot stop ringing. That is also there, Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said that actually we don't need to go anywhere. Everything is in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Now we are here, right? But actually everything is in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. It is all there, Prabhupada said. There was one devotee who joined around the time of the opening of the temple. And initially some of the ladies were cooking, but then that devotee became the cook. And his name was Vibhu Chaitanya. And Vibhu Chaitanya stayed the cook. And Vibhu Chaitanya, from the day he came, cooked everything. He cooked all the offerings and all the milk sweets. Everything that was offered to the deities, he cooked. I mean, it's an incredible amount of cooking. I used to be his helper for a while and cut the vegetables and all these things. And he was very strict. No, not like this, not like that. Then after he'd give me some maha. And he would just go from the kitchen to his room, and from his room back to the kitchen. That was all. And that was his life. The only time that Vibhu Chaitanya ever went out of the gate from the day he joined was when they put him in Samadhi on the Goshala land. Wow. Otherwise, he never left the gate. Never. Never went outside. He was the devotee who is the embodiment of everything. Everything is contained within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. We are happy also to be here, because everything is also contained here. Right? It is also here, although less accessible to us in a way. Therefore, our home is the Krishna Balaram Mandir, because there we serve, there we clean. I remember one festival, it was, I can't remember actually which one, but it was a festival, and maybe the first day of spring, when all the deities are in yellow. And I was temple president, and some devotees talked me in going, visiting all the temples and seeing all the deities in yellow. But as I came to the temple, I saw that all the mahants, that means all the leaders of the different temples, all those who were taking care of the temples, they were on the altar with their deities. And I realized, wait a minute, I should be on the altar right now. I should be with our deities. And I should just simply distribute the mercy of this altar. That's what I learned that day. So somehow or other, that is Vrindavan Dham. Every inch of the Dham is completely transcendental. But everywhere we're seeing how these devotees are making different holy places. And all these places are just revealing to us the Dham. We see different temples, different samadhis, different kunds, different deities. We see the deities of Lalita Bihari. They say they were installed by Krishna's grandson. Somehow or other, Krishna's grandson, Vajranabha, installed many deities all over Vrindavan. Yeah? Oh, so many deities, all from Vajranabha, Krishna's grandson. Somehow or other, he did an incredible service. Because he wanted to keep the memory alive. Right? So now, and then some of these deities were lost and found later also. And so, somehow or other, the devotees of Krishna keep the memories of Krishna alive. It is not just, that is Vrindavan, a place filled with devotees who with great pride and happiness are keeping the memories of Krishna's pastimes alive. And in this way, do the greatest service to the Vaishnavas. Because through them, we are remembering. We are remembering Krishna in so many forms. So Srila Prabhupada, somehow or other, this lady, Gita Sharaf, she donated this land near Ramanreti. It was actually, at the time, didn't look like a very good location because it was on the outside of town. And there was a tree and a bull. There was a heavy bull on that land. So the devotees were staying in Radha Damodar and some stayed at Kesigat also at the time. And they went every day with Harinam to the land. Right? Before the but the bull was very mean. A very heavy bull. So they couldn't even go on the land because the bull would charge, you know. And some of the devotees were calling him Aristasura. But anyway, poor bull. A simple devotee of Krishna. But eventually on that land, the tree was a tamal tree. Brahmananda used to tell, he said, that tree was like a stump. He said it was hardly a tree. We were like saying, what is this stump, you know? Like, but Prabhupada said, oh no, this is a tamal tree. It must be kept. Of course, the original tamal tree from Prabhupada's time is no longer there, but a new tamal tree was planted in the same place. And that is tradition in Vrindavan. Because although time has its influence, the devotees are keeping the memories of Krishna and his devotees alive. So, even though the tree at one point inevitably passed on, a new tree was planted because the memory of Prabhupada sitting under the tamal tree and looking at Krishna Balaram is to be kept alive. And why, Krishna Balaram, why are they on the central altar? Why are they the principal deities? And we've heard many reasons. And some say it has to do with the ras. But one reason, one others have given is because this is Ramanreti. This is the field where Krishna and Balaram would come and rest with the cows. There used to be the Krishna Balaram tree there. Two trees together, now no longer manifest. But we used to go there, and it was very nice. You could see all the cows there. And there were many, many peacocks. You could see as many as 60 peacocks or 70 peacocks on that field. Just peacock. And at night, they would all go into the trees. So I would sit on the wall and chant. There was a garden wall you could sit on and chant my japa and look at the peacocks. It was very nice. There were even peacocks at the side of the road. That's how many peacocks there were. When Prabhupada began his temple, Vrindavan was a sleepy place. If you'd go to Loy Bazaar, the shopkeepers were sleeping. You'd have to wake them up. Now it's the other side. Coming to my shop. Loy Bazaar was a very quiet, sleepy place. All the shopkeepers were just asleep in their shops. Somehow or other, but Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't loiter in Loy Bazaar. Loitering means hanging around. No, he doesn't loiter in Loi Bazaar. So, but why Krishna Balaram? Yes, maybe because it was Raman Reti. But the principal reason, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says that Krishna Balaram are non-different from Gornitai. And because they're non-different from Gornitai, that is why they are the principal deities. Because we come into Vrindavan by the mercy of Prabhupada, and then we continue there by the mercy of Gornitai. Huh? It is by that mercy, by the mercy of the Sankirtan movement, by the mercy of chanting Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada said that this temple must be very clean as Vaikuntha. For many years, for a long period of time, Bhavananda was in charge of that. And he, if one thing he was good at, cleaning temples. Really good at cleaning temples. He has eyes. He can see any spider web at a kilometer distance. Spider web. He walks past a drain and he smells it and he says, it's blocked. Clean this. And then he'd had the temple cleansed. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the devotees would clean the temple and sprinkle rose water. So the temple would smell really sweet. The devotees would polish the chandeliers. And on each beat, there was one Italian devotee. He would, on each beat, chant Hare Krishna. He would polish it. He had some spirits and a cloth, and he would polish the chandelier. And it said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and then take the next beat. Those chandeliers are not just chandeliers. They're malas, you know. They're japa chandeliers. They bring real enlightenment. So it is through all these devotees, that the Holy Dhamma is being revealed to us and kept into our hearts and kept into our memories. First through the great acharyas who write books about the holy dhammas, then through the great followers of the acharyas and the sacrifices that have been made. Gunarnama was here, and he was also part of constructing the temple, and it was very difficult. And Gurudas and Yamuna were part of it. And it was so hard, right? So hard to construct this temple. It's hard in India, you know, because there are strikes, you cannot get cement, it's rationed, you know, you have to build a temple and you can't get cement. And then you have to go to government officers and this office and that office and, you know, and try and get some special permit so you can get some levy cement, some government cement. And such a trip, everything. You get the steel and you load it on a truck and they steal it off the truck. You have to sit on the steel, right, so that they don't steal it, right? That is what it means to bring steel for the construction. My God, all these things. And all these devotees did that service. And in this way, are revealing the Dham, revealing the glories of the Dham, in this, and then keeping the temple clean, are transparent to the Dham. And we are singing. We're singing. Si vigrahara dana nichanana singaratan mandira marjanado. Yes, the spiritual master takes great pleasure when the temple is being cleansed. Singaratan mandira marjanado. When the temple, when the altar is cleansed. And creates the mood of the spiritual world. So this is what we do in Vrindavan. We try to serve Krishna. We try to glorify Krishna. I was, somehow or other, there was a boat festival in Vrindavan. And every temple president did something with that boat festival. It started with... let me see. Not sure which temple president started it. But anyway, we used to fill the courtyard with water and have a boat festival. It was very simple. It was just kirtan and firecrackers at the end. And the boat, deities on the boat, kirtan and firecrackers. Then someone had the idea that the tree is a desire tree. We should hang it full with fruits and gifts and decorations. And the tree was decorated. Then someone had an idea. We should make an island. And on the island, we should have the deities, before they go on the boat, in a temple. And everyone would give. And the festival would grow. And then the next temple president was thinking, yes, we should put in the morning at 7 o'clock, at 7:30, the deity is already on a flower altar, right? On a flower boat. Turn the whole altar into a flower boat, because boat festival. And it grew. And then the next president was thinking, maybe I should add some pastimes to this this boat festival, right? And we had Agasura, huh? His body made of rings of plastic conduit pipe and cloth, and so the whole body could be folded together, and only the head would remain in a curtain behind the in the corner. No one looked behind the curtain. There were guards anyway, with big sticks. So, and everyone, and then we had some on the boat. There was prasadam. An offering was made, and there was lots of prasadam. So when there's prasadam, everyone looks at prasadam. So no one saw the snake coming up from behind, as big as a train, right? And then just putting, and suddenly all the people turn around. And then Agasura put its nose right between two columns, opened its mouth, and the eyes were flashing. And the coward boys came and went in to the mouth. Finally, Krishna also came, but Krishna choked that snake, and the life air was shooting like golden powder out of the head with light effects on it. In this way, the pastimes were being performed. There were nice seats at the base of the water for sannyasis and all the dignitaries who were sitting there. And we had dramatic reading. Purijan was reading. Shiv Ramaraj with a deep voice was reading. It was very transcendental. Different bhajans were sung. And more people came. And the next year, we had Kaliya. And Kaliya had a rubber snake suit with many hoods and a snorkel. And we had made a curtain around the tree. And Kaliya was underwater and swimming underwater. And Krishna was bathing in the Yamuna. And suddenly from underwater, this serpent appears and grabbed Krishna. Whoa. Fridge bossies were rolling on the ground. Everyone was in ecstasy. Simply because the pastimes of Krishna are being revealed. That is Vrindavan. To reveal Krishna. To remember Krishna. To worship Krishna. To glorify Krishna. To spread Krishna's fame everywhere. There is a muddy pond in the forest where Krishna performed the pastime. A rich man comes and builds a beautiful ghat with nice seating places and so on. And in this place, this way, the dham is developing. Just as like Kusum Sarovar, the building is almost more famous than the Kund by now, right? Because it was a king who did that service. So in this way, many, many devotees keep on rendering such service in the holy dham. And that is how, by the mercy of the devotees, through various temples, through various deities, various samadhis. I have one disciple. He is a PhD in Indology. So he knows Sanskrit, obviously, quite well, translates books, and Bengali also, and he knows everything about our tradition. And for years, he was just in a room, and he was just reading books and books and books, and that's his life. He's in a room, reading books. But then after many years, he came to Vrindavan, and near the Ranganath temple is a place called Chausat Samadhi. There are 64 samadhis. And he went there to that place, and he was in ecstasy because he could read all the plaques, right? And he read all the names of all the samadhis, 64 samadhis, and he read all the names of all the persons whose books he had been studying. So for him, that's like, he's in that place, like, almost rolling on the ground. Yeah? So, somehow or other, all these wonderful places in the Holy Dham are simply deepening our relationship with Krishna, deepening our relationships with the Acharyas, deepening our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came back from the West, the Vrijbasis received him and they had a formal reception. The mayor was heading it up and they had a platform and they were honoring him. Because they really appreciated what he had done. They knew what he had done. They appreciated it. And they were honoring him. He did a miracle. He brought Vrindavan to the world and he was bringing the world to Vrindavan. And they could see it. Yeah? They could see it. They actually understood. And Prabhupada was so happy that he was sharing that, you know, that they understood it, right? I mean, it touched his heart, obviously. So, this is now how it is. And now we have the opportunity to be in such places and take advantage, right? Take advantage of all the nice temples, all the nice deities that are being worshipped. And sometimes you see a motorbike in the temple, you know. Chalega, you know. It's a family affair. So they park the motorbike in a corner. Those things, that happens in, that's Vrindavan. Close to Krishna. Living with Krishna. The villagers are with Krishna. He's one of them. Not like in, you know, in the Ramayana, you find a description of when Dasarath is entering the royal assembly hall. And there it is described that there's a huge drum, an enormous drum. And there's a man who's sitting there with long sticks with balls on them. And he's like beating the drum on the rhythm that the king is walking. So as the king is walking into the assembly hall, boom, boom, His Majesty is entering, boom, boom. Right? So when you go in South India and you go to see in Tirupati Lord Venkatesh, they have the same. They also have this majestic, these drums, this huge drum. You can see, and people go in and it's like boom, and you're coming closer to the deity. Boom, you're now approaching the Supreme Lord. Boom, you are going to see the Supreme Lord in all his glory. Boom, and all his opulence. Boom, and the line is coming closer, but you can still not see him because he's hidden in a small little garbhagriha, a small altar. Boom, and you are getting there, and you're almost there. Boom, and you're getting now excited, and boom, and there he is, you know, Lord Venkatesh. You don't see eyes, but golden, huge tilak, and just huge effulgence, and boom, and the people push, and you get pushed away. And oh my God, I saw God. I saw God. Oh. You know, and you're out of the temple. The North Indians, they call Lord Venkatesh in Tirupati by a different name. They call him Balaji. Balaji. That's the North Indian name. That's not the South Indian name. Balaji. That's Hindi. Balaji. That's our Balaji. He's a kid. He's a boy. Balaji. He's our boy from Vrindavan, Balaji. Yes. They don't come in boom boom. Rich Basis, they call. Yes. Balaji. He's a boy from our village. Like this. That is Vrindavan. Very close and intimate. Not the Aishwarya from Vaikuntha, but that intimate, close connection with Krishna. Since I was saying Gayatri, 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 those who do have a second initiation should maybe chant the Gayatri instead of chanting it tonight, two Gayatris. So I'll also chant my Gayatri, and then we'll continue. First, a little water.